we never really realize how much you miss the light until the light goes out. Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
Welcome to Moody Presents with Dr. Mark Jobe, president of the Moody Bible Institute and founding pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm John Gager, kind of pumped because today we got Dr. Jobe in the studio. We're looking at a brand new message series, Mark, based on the I Am statements of Jesus.
So excited about this because the I Am statements are at the core of who Jesus is, explaining who Jesus is to his disciples. So this is going to be a powerful series.
I don't want to take away from the message we're about to hear, but tell us, why are these I Am statements so important?
You know, anytime someone describes who they are, and Jesus does it so well in picture form, he compares himself to various different things like I'm the door, I'm the light. And but each one of those symbols has a meaning to it.
Yeah, so simple and yet so profound.
Unless you understand the person and the work of Jesus, you'll totally miss Christianity. And even as a Christian, you'll totally miss how to live as a believer if you don't understand the person and the work of Jesus.
Well, as we begin today's look at John chapter 9, Pastor Mark opens with a story, and it's a good one, how light breaks through our darkness. Here's Pastor Mark Jobe with Moody Presents.
You never know how much you need light until you lose light. A few months ago, we experienced the great blizzard of 2011 in Chicago. Biggest blizzard we've had in 30 years. Took me 3 hours to shovel my driveway. Seriously. I mean, there was snow up to here. It was a blizzard. This was a good old-time Chicago blizzard. Anybody stuck on Lakeshore Drive in this auditorium during the blizzard? No one? You said, it's all the non-Chicagoans that got stuck on Lakeshore Drive, man. We know to stay away from Lakeshore Drive on times like that. I thought that we were going to go through that blizzard with no problem. I knew it was coming. I knew it would be several feet of snow. I knew we'd be snowed in. I knew the plows wouldn't come the first day. My kids were like, yeah, we get off school. May it blizzard for a week so we can get a week off school. So they were excited about it. We had food in the pantry. Our furnace was working, so no problem. And so we settled in to have this cozy day and a half lock-in in our house because the blizzard was going to be that way, and pulled out the books and got ready for a nice time. We were saying, this is going to be kind of fun, actually, to be kind of held up here in the blizzard. And everything was going well until about 7 o'clock at night. There was a little flicker in the lights. And then the flicker turned into a blackout. So here we were now, in the middle of a blizzard with no lights. How many of you think you know where the flashlight is at? Until the light goes out. Is it just me, or when the light goes out, it seems like someone moved the flashlight? I have a 12-year-old, and when I go to put my hand where the flashlight is supposed to be, it never seems to be there. Grant! What, Dad? Where's the flashlight? Oh, yeah, I was exploring the basement or something like that. He'll come in. And he never quite knows. And so we're fumbling around, trying to get candles out. And suddenly we turn from this is going to be nice and cozy to this is getting kind of chilly because the furnace went out and the lights went out and there's no electronics. And we went 14 hours without light and it was getting a little cold. Without electricity, without light. But we never really realize how much you miss the light until the light goes out. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said he's the light because he's comparing himself to something that we all see, that we all know, but that's vital to our existence. And so I want to look for a moment at John chapter 9. And this claim of Jesus is the light, and one of the most powerful stories about a blind man and his encounter with Jesus that you will ever see. It tells us in verse 9, as Jesus went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples ask him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You know, sometimes we ask the wrong questions, don't we? And Jesus has to redirect our thinking the right way. They're walking by and they see a blind man. They find out that he was born that way blind, and his disciples ask, "Why is he blind? Is it because his sin, or is it because his parents' sin?" Now, that's the wrong question for a couple reasons. A, how could it be his sin if he was born blind? I mean, he didn't even have a chance to sin before he was born, so how could it be his sin? Kind of a dumb question in my mind. Secondly, why are you even asking that question about why is he blind and is it his parents' fault? When you see a person suffering or going through a difficult time. Jesus turned the whole thing around and he said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the work of God may be displayed in his life. As long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." In essence, what Jesus said is, don't worry about whether it was his sin or his parents' sin. Worry about what does God want you to do at this moment when you see someone that's suffering. What are the works of God that he wants us to do? Anytime there's disasters, for example, when the earthquake hit Haiti, I heard some people talking about, well, Haiti got hit by an earthquake because they practice voodooism. And that's why an earthquake hit and so many people died, and it's God's judgment upon them. Anytime there's a natural tragedy, people ask themselves, why is this tragedy happening and how did they bring it upon themselves? And here's what I want you to understand and know about this. I want us to be really careful that when a tragedy happens, to assume that we know why it happened and attribute it to some sort of sin or some sort of judgment of God, because I think that only God knows why it's happening, but our response needs to be, what do we do when someone is struggling or suffering, regardless of why it happened? And that's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, hey, don't worry about his sin or his parents' sin. What you need to worry about is what are the works that God wants you to do right now. If you see a person that's diagnosed and suffering with HIV, AIDS, you could sit and ask yourself, well, they're that way because God's judgment, who knows how sexually involved they were or what they did or how promiscuous they were, and you could almost walk around that person thinking, well, they deserve that. Or you could do what Jesus wants you to do and ask yourself, this person, regardless of how they got there, what is it that God wants me to do towards them in the midst of their suffering? You could see a homeless person under the bridge and you could assume, well, they're there because they drank it all, because they're an alcoholic, or they shot it all up in their arm and they're just a drug addict or an alcoholic or an addict, and they deserve to live under that bridge because that's what they've brought on themselves. And you could just assume that and walk around them and show no mercy and no compassion. Or you could say, I don't know why they're there. I'm not assuming I know why they're there. And I'll leave that up to God. But as a human, I have a responsibility to show compassion, at least to people that are in difficult circumstances. I think that's the heart of God. Because listen, if it's justice that you want, we would all be in a heap of trouble. 9/11 happened and the Twin Towers went down. I can guarantee you there were people in the Twin Towers that went to church and loved Jesus and read their Bible and prayed every day. And there were pagan, hard-hearted people towards God as well. The good and the bad suffer in this world. And we need to be careful to attach judgments to people that get sick or are suffering or tragedy happens in their life, because it's really not our call to determine why it happened. It's our call to show the grace of God and compassion of God and mercy of God and help of God. That is our responsibility in the face of tragedy. This happens so that the work of God may be displayed, and as long as there is day, in other words, as long as we have opportunity, we must do the work of Him, Jesus, who called me, and we've been called light of the world now, because a day will come when we can't do those works. So now, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So what Jesus was saying, as long as we have opportunity, let's do good whenever we can, without casting judgment, without walking by people, without telling people, well, you deserve to be in the place that you were at, or you made your own bed, so now sleep in it. I think there needs to be a grace and a mercy that's extended towards people that are experiencing suffering, whether or not they brought it upon themselves. There needs to be grace and mercy that we extend to everyone. Jesus went on. After he said this, I think he went on to do some extraordinary things, and that's what I really want to talk to you about, how Jesus really had a breakthrough in this blind man's life. And I think the breakthrough that this blind man experienced, there's lessons there that all of us can learn about how God brings breakthroughs in our lives. So if you're taking notes, I want you to just to jot some of these down today. How light breaks through our darkness. Verse 6, after Jesus said that, the blind man was there. He sort of rebukes his disciples and says, stop judging them and show mercy and compassion. Do the works of God. And then he does some unusual things. And I love this story. I think I liked it the most when I was in junior high, because it involves spitting and dirt.
Spitting and dirt. Well, there's definitely more to this story, as you'll hear in just a moment. Right now, though, I want to read a listener email from Sarah. She says, I really enjoy the new broadcast with Mark Job. I'd especially like to hear some of the programs again. Is there a good way to do that? Moody Presents is really good. Well, thanks, Sarah. You can listen to any of our programs at moodypresents.org. That's moodypresents.org. And our email address, if you'd like to write us, as Sarah did, moodypresents@moody.edu. Pastor Mark Job is helping us understand how light breaks through our darkness. Here he is to continue today's message.
It's the one place in the Bible, I think, where it says that Jesus spit. Look at it. Having said this, he spit. He did what? Spit. Pastor, what does that mean in the Greek? It means spit. You know, spit. Now, I know that doesn't seem very religious, and I know it doesn't seem very kosher, and I know it doesn't seem very sophisticated, but I wonder why Jesus did that. I think I know why. I have a couple ideas about why Jesus did that. But before I get into why Jesus spit, let me just say that there's a couple things I observe about this story that are significant. How light breaks through our darkness. And if you think of your own story and other people's life story, I think there's a couple things that they have in common when people finally break through to the light and are able to see. The first thing I notice is that the initiative for a breakthrough comes first of all from the heart of Jesus. That Jesus is always the initiator. In verse 1 it says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And it was Jesus that approached the blind man, not the blind man that approached Jesus. Now, I know that there's other places in Scripture where a blind man is the one that calls out to Jesus or someone else approaches Jesus. But here's what I want you to understand. God is always the one, first of all, reaching out to us before we respond to him. Once in a while, I hear people use this phrase, and I understand what you mean, and I don't want to kind of beat you down with it, but I think it's not really the right phrase. Once in a while, people say, well, I found God. And I know what you mean by that. But first of all, God was never lost. So you don't find God. Secondly, it wasn't as if God was occupied with celestial organization and global crisis and had his back to you, and you struggled and reached out and climbed the celestial ladder and tapped on his back, oh God, please. And then he kind of looked back and say, oh, you found me. All right, wow, good job. No. That's not how it works. Never. It was never your initiative, never your effort, never your faith, never your beckoning to God that reaches out to him. It's God who reaches out to you. It's God who sends you messages. It's God who convicts you. It's God who extends his grace to you. It's God who has known you, loved you, reached out to you, extended his hand, brought people into your life, brought signs into your life. It's always God reaching out to us and us responding to God. Is the way it works. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't remember God when I was younger, or I was away from God for years. But you may have been away from God, but listen, God was never away from you. Never. The fact that you didn't acknowledge God, the fact that you didn't see God, the fact that you didn't feel like God was there does not mean that God wasn't there. He was there, you just ignored him. He was speaking, you just weren't listening. He was manifesting, you just weren't looking for him. He was giving messages, but you were ignoring them. He was softening your heart and you were pushing it away. But it doesn't mean that God was not there. God has always been there. God is always there. God knows your story and your history, which leads me to my second point, is that Jesus has insight into each of our life and our history always. He's always been working in our lives, whether we acknowledge it or not. He initiates, and he's always working. In fact, this will really help you out, I think, as you try to look at life and try to look at the world. You need to approach the world and life with this mentality. God has already been working there. When you meet someone for the first time and they seem irreligious, dark, hard-hearted, away from God, wanting, God is eternal, he's pre-existent, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's involved, he's omnipresent, so God has already been working before I was ever there, God was there. When you meet someone, you can be sure that God has been working in their life. Now they just need to connect the dots of where God has been working and what God has been doing. But God has been working and moving. Jesus looked at this blind man without ever speaking to him, and he said, no, it's not his sin. No, it's not his parents' sin, because Jesus, in his omniscience, was acquainted with his history and his story, and he knew it. It's really important to understand this as you move forward in life, because sometimes we're intimidated when we run into people that are hard-hearted against God, thinking, well, they know nothing about God. But I can guarantee you that God has already been reaching out to their soul. Number three, breakthroughs come in many different ways, in part so that we don't depend on people or a particular formula. Notice what Jesus did in verse 6. I already said, he spit on the ground and he made some mud with saliva. Wow. Now, if you read scripture, you'll realize that Jesus healed people a lot of different ways. He healed quite a few blind people. One blind person, he healed by saying, get up, your eyes be open, and they were open. Another blind person, he touched them and said, open their eyes. This guy spits on the ground, makes mud, and puts mud on the blind person's eyes, and then says, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself there. Now, I have a little mud here. And I would spit in it, but I know my wife would say, Mark, why'd you spit? That's not, so I actually just poured a little water. This is not spit, it's just water. Jesus makes mud like this. Pretty nasty. Especially if it's saliva-made mud. And he goes to the blind person, and he puts mud on their eyes. Let me show you with Saul how he did. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, brother. He puts mud on his eyes. Well, all the disciples are watching. And then he says to the blind man, now I want you to go with mud on your eyes. And I want you to go all the way to the pool of Siloam, which is a pool that Hezekiah built hundreds of years earlier inside of the walls of Jerusalem, fed by a spring outside of the walls so people actually could drink of the well in safety. I want you to go to the pool of Siloam, and I want you to wash there. And when you wash there, your sight will be given back to you. Now, there's a couple things at work there. One, mud on eyes. Two, an act of faith, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And three, the bigger thing that comes to my mind is, why in the world would Jesus do it that way? Have you ever asked yourself that? I think the reason that Jesus did it that way is that we're so prone to fall into formulas. We think that everybody has to do it this way. That when God works, it always has to be done that way. I think the reason that Jesus healed in so many different ways was that Jesus was trying to show, I'm not boxed. Some of you came to God through a tragedy. Some of you came because a friend talked to you. Some of you came when you were just awakened. Some of you were doing great, but since an emptiness of the soul. Some of you were an addict and you were liberated. I mean, there's a lot of pathways that come to Jesus, but ultimately, Jesus is the way to God. And do not argue about the path that brought you to Jesus, because ultimately, God is not bound by a box in how he works in our life. The fourth thing that happens in this passage, our journey to breakthrough and light, is that it will always involve steps of obedience and trust. Whether he says, extend your hand or stand up. He put mud on this blind person's life, and then he says, go to the pool. And he's traveling to a pool that he's probably been to 100 times before and washed in 100 times before, but this time he's expecting something different to happen. Oh, let me just say this. The difference between washing in that pool this time and 100 times before is one simple difference. It's called faith. You could have prayed 100 times before and prayed to Jesus and never had a change in your life until you finally have the faith to believe and really trust God. And that prayer, suddenly, it's the faith and understanding that literally transforms your life. There's something about the power of faith and the power of the Word when combined together is extraordinary in making changes. God can take the ordinary and cause it to bring about extraordinary results when his hand is in it and faith and obedience are involved in it. Some of you have grown up with Christianity, so you know words like faith and Jesus and grace and salvation and the cross. You know those words. If you have been blind spiritually, you know those words, but you don't really know what they mean because you've never really seen them. When God begins to take away your blindness, not only do you know the words, but suddenly the words make sense to you and you begin to see in full, vivid color who Jesus is and what grace is and what salvation is, and it starts to make sense to you. And though before you knew the words, now you know the meaning because your eyes have been opened.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe here on Moody Presents. And if you'd like to know how to receive Jesus as your Savior, that's a Bible word. It means the leader of your life, the forgiver of your sins. Well, a volunteer will pray with you right now at 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Now, our website again is moodypresents.org. I'm John Gager, inviting you back next week when Pastor Mark takes us to the claim of Jesus, I am the resurrection. And that's next time on Moody Presents with Mark Jobe, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.